All right. Okay, so a little sharing here tonight. We'll go ahead and get started. Ancient of Days versus Modern Humanism. So, kind of a sampling, I guess, if you would, of what is going on today and what is being pushed and the grip that comes upon our country, comes upon the world, but the grip that's coming upon our country and what's taking place and how it's going to combat against us now and even more so in the future and the fight that we have against it. And so we're going to kind of go over a few of these things here. Ancient of Days versus Modern Humanism. The Bible has so many prophetic things that as you go through them, sometimes thousands of years before it comes true, okay? Revelations is a long time, or might be short, it might be 8 years from now for all we know. We have no idea. It could be right around the corner, but it's full of prophetic things. And so we're going to start off in Daniel. Daniel 7, verses 13 through 27, and I'll read those. I didn't mark any pages, so as soon as I get to it, I will call it out. So somebody else can.
853.
You should not look to Daniel.
Okay.
Jeremiah.
He's dead.
What?
What? She said he's deaf, and you go, what? Okay, chapter 7, I'm going to read verses 13 through 27. Pull my light over here. All right, here we go. Verse 7, after that, I was looking in a vision. So this is a vision of Daniel. If you look up at there, very the top of chapter 7, Daniel here goes back to record his own dreams. And then we're in verse 7. After that, I was looking at the visions of the night. When lo, a fourth wild beast, terrible and well-hipped and exceeding strong, and it had large teeth of iron and devoured the broken pieces, and the residue of its feet it trampled down. And it was diverse from all the wild beasts that were before it, and had 10 horns. I considering the horns, when lo, another horn, a little one, came up among them, and the three of the former horns.
Supposed to be 13 through 27.
You got 13.
I'm sorry. Yep, you're right. Okay, thank you. Starting at 13. Start again here, okay? I continued looking. That was part of the first vision. I was trying to cut through some time. So, no, I didn't want that. That's part of the vision with the beginning, but yeah, I want 13. I continued looking in the vision of the night when lo, when the clouds of the heavens, one like a son of man was coming, and unto the Ancient of Days he approached, and before him they brought him near, and unto him were given dominion and dignity and kinship, and that all the peoples, races, tongues unto him should do service. His dominion was age-abiding dominion, which should not pass away, and his kingdom that which should not be destroyed. The spirit of me, Daniel, was grieved in the midst of the sheath, and the visions of my head terrified me. I drew near unto one of them who stood by, and made exact inquiry of him concerning all of this. So he told me of the interpretation of these things he made known unto me. The great wild beasts, which are four kings who shall rise out of the earth, the holy ones of the highest, shall receive the kingdom and shall possess the kingdom for the age of ages. Give me just a second. I hope I didn't put the wrong ones on here. I did. I put the wrong verses here, guys. I'm sorry. I can recoup it here. I don't know why I had that down here to that bar. Okay, I'm going to go back to verse 7. Actually, that's where I meant to be. I don't know why I put that as 13, but back to 7. The residue trampled down before diverse wild beasts. In verse 8, I was considering the horns when lo, another horn, a little one, came up among them, and the three former horns were uprooted before it. And lo, eyes like the eyes of a man in the horn, and the mouth speaking great things. I continued looking until the thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat, whose garment like snow was white, and the hairs of his head pure as wool. His throne was flames of fire, his wills a burning fire. A stream of fire was flowing and issuing forth before him. 1,000,000 waited upon him, and 10,000s of 10,000s before him stood up. Okay, now we're going to jump over here, and we're going to go down to verse 19. Then desired I to be sure concerning the four wild beasts, which were diverse from all them, exceeding terrible, whose teeth of iron and his claws of bronze he devoured, breaking pieces, and the residue with his feet he trampled down. Also concerning the 10 horns which were in his head, and the other which came up, and there fell from among them that were before it. 3. And this horn which had eyes and a mouth, speaking great things, that it, and his look was more proud than his fellows. I continued looking when this horn made war with the holy ones and prevailed against them, until that the Ancient of Days came and justice was granted to the holy ones of the highest, and the time arrived that the Holy One should possess the kingdom. Thus he saith, the fourth wild beast, a fourth kingdom which shall be in the earth, which shall be diverse from all the kingdoms, and shall devour all the earth, and shall trample it and break down in pieces. And the 10 horns of the kingdoms are 10 kings who will rise, and another will rise after him, and he will be diverse from the former ones, and 3 kings will he cast down, and the words against the Most High will he speak, and the Holy One of the Highest will he afflict, and will hope to change times and law, and they will be given into his hand for a season and seasons, and be dividing of the season. But judgment will take its seat, and his dominion will they take away, to destroy and make disappear until an end. And the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under all the heavens shall be given to the people of the Holy Ones of the Highest. His kingdom is an age-abiding kingdom, and all the dominions under him will render service and show themselves obedient. Now, we can read that in Revelations, okay? This was long before that, okay? This testimony, this vision that Daniel had, talking about that, about the coming Messiah, what was going to take place. We are not in this period. But is the adversary different in this period than it is now?
No.
I mean, the adversary is going to, it's going to be, there will be a change. There will be a little bit of a change. Thank goodness we won't be here, because we will be gone before that takes place. But this is the nature. This is what's happening, and this is what's coming, and we know the end. And the end is foretold before we even get to the new covenant.
Yeah.
Okay? And so it's wonderful to be able to see that. But that is the nature of our adversary. We see what it is to make war against who? The holy ones.
Yeah.
The holy ones, okay? So the war is not against just mankind in particular. It's against the holy ones. It's against Yahweh's chosen. Okay? That's where it comes to. Okay? So when we're looking at this, we're going to go over a couple of different definitions, because this is the populism now that we're faced with. This is what's taking place. It's written through churches, through schools, everywhere you go, even in public schools. Private schools are even encountering a lot of this. So out of the Oxford Dictionary, here's the definition of humanism. A system of thought that considers that solving human problems with the help of reason is more important than religious beliefs. It emphasizes the fact that the basic nature of humans is good. Okay? And this is the whole problem, that the humans can solve it, and this takes precedent over religious beliefs. Okay? And this is the beginning of the progressivism. Humanism is based on relativism and the idea that human advancement is the solution to injustice, war, and suffering. Worldly reasoning will have some truth in its reasoning. The Christian worldview is that Yahweh uses people to accomplish his will, including peace and justice. The Christian understands that man is made in the image of Yahweh. Okay? And so when we're looking at this, we're looking at humanism and relativism. Okay? And this is the fighting forces that the adversary is really implementing right now. Because it divides. It takes things away. The family's attacked. The church is attacked. Okay? There is no right. There is no wrong, is basically what it comes up to. So what we're going to do is flip over to Genesis 1. We were just there a few minutes ago with Melania's great sharing. We're going to read this, because this will kind of have a little bit of importance for something we're going to. So verse 26 through 28, if somebody would read that for me, chapter 1.
Okay, I will. And Elohim said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the bird of the heavens, over the tame beasts, over all the land, over every creeping thing that creepeth on the land. And Elohim created the man in his own image. In the image of Elohim created he him. Male and female created he them. And Elohim blessed them, and Elohim said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the bird of the heavens, and over every living thing that moveth on the land.
Thank you. That's it. That's it. So Yahweh put us in position. Okay, He put us in position. It was our dual responsibility to be tending to that, to have dominion over those things. Okay, so as we go through here, this is going to become important. So relativism is the belief that truth, and again, this is not my definition, this is Oxford Dictionary, the belief that truth and right and wrong cannot be judged generally, but can be judged only in relation to other things, such as personal situation. Okay, this is where we run into problems where whatever you think or feel is right at that time. That's why we went from 2 genders to like 8 genders to 45 genders to like 105 to whatever it is now. This changed within hours.
Yeah.
This is the whole thing. This is what relativism is. There is no right. There is no wrong. Whatever you feel like, do it. Just go for it. It's okay. Relativism holds no opinion is better than any other opinion. Unless it's opinion that is related to Christ, Christians. Okay, then it does. Then their opinion absolutely jumps over it.
Yeah.
Taken to its logical conclusion, it destroys the whole process of rational discussion. If every opinion is as good as any other, then the opinion I come to at the end of a long, informative, rigorous debate is no better than where we started with. Okay? What good is the debate? So if there's already opinion, if the logical conclusion is it doesn't matter, why do we even discuss it? What's the point? There's no reason to even go any farther. According to relativism, the teacher's professional opinion of a piece of coursework is no more authority than that of the student who wrote it, the older sister who refused to read it, or the dog who chewed it up. Okay? It makes no difference because everything is relative. It makes no difference. Okay? And this is the problem. It's a watering down of society. You look at education. The education was developed in the Department of Education, 1974? Okay? Did education, has it improved since 1974? Oh my gosh, you look at the writings back in the 1800s. They were marvelous. We have gone downhill. We're not improving. Continually moving moral goalposts. So this is the problem that we see, is there is nothing fixed. Nothing is to where it's a focal point that we're looking into. Who determines what's good and evil? Christians taught to love thy neighbor. Okay? There are communities, I don't know about how many today, but there have been in the past that some countries, they were taught to eat your neighbor. Okay? Is that right or wrong? Well, to those guys, it's perfectly acceptable. Hey, you're shipwrecked up onto this island. You look pretty tasty. Look at this, some white meat. So here we go. And that's okay. It's acceptable because to them, it was okay. Okay? Never to Yahweh was that okay. But it's all relative to what they believe. So this is something, I do use a lot of air stuff from days of flying. This is called spatial disorientation. Okay, and what this is here is you can actually see the horizon down here. Okay, this is the actual horizon. Now this pilot is above the clouds. He cannot see the horizon. And what he sees is a sloping cloud deck. And so see how his attitude of his aircraft?
Yeah.
He's in a constant turn. And why? Because relative to what he sees or feels, he sees the horizon, and it's a horrible, horrible feeling. I've had that before when we're flying, and all of a sudden for a short second, you're like, you didn't even know which way you were going. It is a horrible feeling. But this is it, and this is where the humanist and the relativist are pushing people to be. It doesn't matter. It does not make me. There is no horizon. Don't even worry about it. Okay? And this is where, for a believer, this is where you go to the instruments. We go right to the Word, because the Word is fixed. When Yahweh is removed as the moral foundation and lawgiver, we must have a fixed point of reference. Okay? And I always go back, this is a funny story, my older brother, when he had learned to drive, I was just a year behind him, so I would go with him, because I was excited, you know, my mom would give him, you know, go get milk, go do this, and back in those days when you first had your license, those were great. I mean, any errand, oh yeah, let's go. And so I rode with him, because I'm only a year behind. I'm going to learn to drive. I'm going to watch him. And we're sitting in a parking lot of King Supers, and all of a sudden, I'm like going, what is he doing? I look over at him, and he's looking around like this, and he goes, look how weird this is. All those cars are moving forward at the exact same time. And I'm like going, no, you're moving backwards. Okay?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he hits the brakes. And reality, when he's looking around at you, this is remarkable. And I've been at a stoplight before like that.
Yeah.
Where all of a sudden I start rolling and I'm like going, why is everybody, I don't. You don't understand it because you're moving. And so having something fixed, and what fixes us is Yahweh's giving us the fix. This is the anchor. This is what holds us to whenever something comes up, we can find an answer right here. And that is our focal point. Where the world goes, remember I talked about that a long time ago. If we all started out in one point, and then everybody goes and the goal is to get to this point, if you get off course, you have to come back 45 degrees to even capture the course again. That's just to make it back over. Okay? And what happens is people don't do that. They start here, and the goal is to get here, and they come over to here, and then they reset the goalpost, and we'll just go this direction. And now we're paralleling it. And that's what we are right now. We're in two parallel worlds. One that the adversary is trying to run, and doing a pretty good job with a lot of people, and one that Yahweh says, here is the correct, here's what I want, and here's where you need to be. And that focal point, if we are off of it, the only way to get back over your target, because when we were in the flying area, there were lots of times where you had to approach something at one area. So think of landing on a runway, okay? If this is a runway like this, okay, and a plane's coming in, and they're supposed to be coming in and landing on this runway like this, but they're over here, and they're like, well, the runway's over here, so we'll just come over like this. Well, you can't land on the runway if you're positioned like this. So you have to get back on course to correct to get back on it. And that's where Yahweh, that his word is. That's our anchor. If we are off course, we can get back on course. Okay? Next one. Baby River. I'm going to read you something. Bear with me. Okay? This is horrible. This is absolutely horrible. This was a news article that came out, I think, 2 days ago from a CNN correspondent. And I'm not going to read the whole thing because the guy's disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. But I want to read, he wrote a letter to his brand new born son. And this, he is CNN's chief climate scientist. Okay? He's not even a scientist. He's just a correspondent. That's all. He doesn't have a degree. But I'm going to read a couple things from it because this was published, and I'm telling you, anybody have heard of it yet? Okay, if you haven't, you will if you listen to any talk radios, or I don't watch any of the media, but it's just running rampant. Oh, how beautiful. What a sorry and sad story all in one time. And I'm like, what a disgusting human. Okay, and this is, I'm going to just go through a little bit and bear with me, like I said. It's not super long, but my dearest river, there's an irony. Boy, you couldn't name him Gaia? I'm like going, river. Okay, all right, gotcha. To start with, I want to bring something to the table. If you are climatologist and you think that people are destroying the earth, why are you having children? Okay, and I'm all for it. Sterilize yourself so you don't have any more kids. Just start off there. But what happened is he did. And so I think 90% of this is a plea or an offering to all those other people who are out there saying, you had kids, you are a hypocrite. So this is his, but I can make up for it because of this letter that I'm going to write to my son. And I'm like going, he's a day old for crying out loud. Okay? And this is it. My dearest river, against all odds, you were conceived in a lighthouse, gross, born during a pandemic, that was my own adding, by the way, during a pandemic, and will taste just enough life as we know it to resent us when it's gone. Wow, boy, what a powerful start for a parent. Dad of the year, I'm sorry. I'm sorry we broke your sea. I'm sorry we broke your sky and shortened the wings of the nightingale. And that makes me laugh. Okay, that we made the bird have shorter wings. Okay? Okay, I'm sorry that the Great Barrier Reef is no longer great and that we value Amazon more than the Amazon and the waterfront neighborhood where you burble in my arms could be condemned by rising seas before you're old enough for a mortgage. Wow, wasn't there somebody who said that the seas were going to rise 20 feet within 20 years?
10 years, I think.
Yeah, that came and gone like 6 years ago. Yeah, so anyways, back to the story. Instead, the milk in your bottle was warmed by dirty ancient fuels, and as a result, you will learn to walk on a planet that has never been this hot for humans. See, for decades, scientists told us blah, 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 blah. All just garbage, garbage, garbage. As you get older, this will be hard to understand, but we were under the spell of Genesis 1:28 to take dominion over every living thing. We had this strange urge to crave to carve straight lines out of nature's curves, and we're under the spell of uniquely human force called profit motive. But keep that in mind, that he is quoting scripture, and through this, because I'm going to skim through this, his grandmother was very religious and taught them all the Bible. And that's why he's quoting this, because he knows this, okay, that this is the problem. So he's throwing that out. This is a problem. We believed in Genesis 1:28. When we finally realized that the people were wrong, blah, 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 for generations, scientists told us if we weren't careful, an invisible enemy would come out of our farms, factories, and that would, including me, but like the coronavirus today, carbon dioxide and methane molecules don't care what we believe. How does coronavirus have anything to do with anything? Okay, but apparently that's part of global warming as well. Along the way, everything in our man-made world, flags, borders, everything is just horrible. Take your grandma Pat. She believed the stories in a very old book with such passion. We followed her dreams from our home in Wisconsin all over the Bible Belt, where the heroes were Jesus, cowboys, and oilmen. Is there any cowboys in here? There any oilmen in the Bible? Not to the best of my knowledge, okay? So we burn gasoline for no good reason. It makes a great fire. Not very good barbecue cider, but it does make a good fire. Meanwhile, they went to their other, the grandfather, and he taught them of heroes of John Murr, Edward Abbey, Rachel Carlson, and Eunice Newton Foote. Rachel Carlson, if you guys don't remember, I talked about her in a teaching a long time ago. She's the one that banned DDT. She's the one who got that. She had that silent spring. That banned it. They're probably the biggest killer of humankind in history, to include what Mao did to the country of China. Horrible. And who did it devastate? It devastated minorities, brown people, as they would call it. Yeah, horrible, horrible. It was terrible what she did.
Mosquitoes.
Yeah, DDT killed mosquitoes, and she got rid of it. She got rid of it. Okay, so I'm skipping through here. Thanks to all the heat-trapping gas, our oceans absorbing as much extra heat as 5 Hiroshima-sized atomic bombs every second of every day. Wow.
That's a lot of heat.
That's terrifying. I'm like going, what in the... Seriously, you should be laughed out of here. You shouldn't even have it. You shouldn't even be allowed on TV. Just like the virus hunters, she knew and predicted how eerie it would be and how screwed we would be. And this woman, now they're all praising her, because in the 1800s, she said that carbon dioxide would heat the earth over other types of gases. Okay, carbon dioxide is what we live off of. We can't, the plants can't survive without it, and the plants turn it to oxygen. I'm like, Yahweh, bravo, what a miraculous thing you did. Okay, skipping down. There's no telling which side of prevail, and it's no wonder some believe that bringing you aboard this sinking ship was selfish, immoral, and hypocritical. And I'll be one of those people who will agree with you. If that's how you're going to stand, then you are hypocritical. You treat believers and deniers with equal empathy, understanding we are all just products of the stories we are told. You'll need every ingenious trick in the book as citizens of a modern world, to force everyone to realize every day is Earth Day. Okay? That is not a typo. To force everyone to know that every day is Earth Day. Okay? I have a real problem with the force. Okay? Forcing people to do that. But that's where we're going. That's exactly where we're going. And the whole thing of this, the green movement is very, very anti-Yahweh, anti-Christ. That's what it's against. It's the worship
garbage
of the
shop,
things.
Right? Yeah, garbage shop.
Yeah, and so that's all I'm going to read to you. It's pathetic. It goes for a couple pages, but the whole thing is, this is his account to his son, okay, who is, you know, basically filling a diaper while he's, you know, breastfeeding. Couldn't care less. But the whole point is, he had pictures in the story, which were absolutely hilarious, because it showed like a mule on a flat thing with the ground all cracked. Okay, and it's so, everything's so corrupt. It showed like 2 steam stacks from a coal plant that are putting out water vapor. And I'm just like, well, and made sure there was a bird. Everything about it was so staged and so put together. Well, yeah, this guy's a great element in the hands of the adversary. Okay, and for pushing these things and the motive that we're supposed to be going down. So let's counter this. Let's look over here in Romans. Romans chapter 1. Verses 17 through 25, and if somebody would read that for me.
For righteousness, is that Yahweh?
Mm-hmm.
For righteousness of Yahweh is therein revealed, by faith unto faith, even as it is written. But he that is righteous by faith shall live. For there is being revealed an anger of Yahweh from heaven, or Elohim, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who the truth in unrighteousness do hold down. Inasmuch as what may be known of Elohim is manifest among them, for Elohim unto them hath made it manifest. For the unseen things of him from a world's creation, by the things made being perceived, are clearly seen, even his eternal power and divinity, to the end they should be without excuse. Inasmuch as having come to know Elohim, not as Elohim did they glorify him or give him thanks, but were made fruitless in their reasonings, and darkened was their undiscerning heart. Professing to be wise, they were made foolish, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible Elohim for the likeness of an image of a corruptible man, and of birds, and four-footed beasts, and reptiles. Wherefore, Elohim gave them up in the covetings of their hearts unto impurity, so as to be dishonoring their bodies among them, who indeed exchanged away the truth of Elohim for the falsehood, and rendered worship and service unto the creature rather than unto the Creator. For this cause Elohim gave them
that's
up.
That's it. That's good right there. Okay. Who is blessed unto the ages. Amen. And that's it. And so the whole thing is, when you look up in here, that there, the basically, where was it here?
Talking about Mother Earth.
Yeah, against all ungodliness and righteousness of men, who truth and righteousness do hold down. Okay, do hold down. In so much that they know God manifest in them, for Yahweh unto them hath made it manifest, okay, for the unseen. So this guy's blameless. Okay, he was raised where he knew the word. Okay, and he decided to go against it. And so he knows. He knows better. But it's the stories. His whole thing, the whole point of that is, we have to change the stories. Because the stories that we tell is what the kids are going to, that's the generation that we're going to be bringing up. And I would agree. I would agree. The stories do. If you lie to somebody, if somebody grows up the whole time, you know, in Japan, when we were over there, they were never taught about the Rising Sun Empire. Okay, the kids, they didn't know about it. And it wasn't until we were in Hawaii on the USS Arizona, and the Japanese people would come up and talk to us and ask us questions, and they had no idea what took place. It was all hidden. And that changes history. And so that's exactly the same thing. The adversaries, I mean, he's got a handful of tricks, okay? Some of them are more effective than others, but this is it. They pushed this down. They held down the information. Unrighteousness of men who the truth and unrighteousness do hold down. Okay, this is from one of the notes here within the online Bible that I thought was pretty good. As darkness overspreads the mind, so impotence takes possession of the heart. When the still small voice of conscience is first discarded, then thwarted, and then systemically deadened. Thus the truth, which Yahweh left with and in men, instead of having free scope and developing itself as it otherwise would, was obstructed. Okay, and that's it. And that is the adversary's position, to obstruct the word. Let's go to Matthew here. Flip back a little bit. Matthew chapter 6. And somebody would read 22 through 24. Actually, I'll read this. That's not a problem. 6. Where are you here? 22 through 24. Okay, 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be lighted up. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be in dark. If therefore the light which is in thee is darkness, the darkness how great. No one unto two masters can be in service, for either the one he will hate and the other love, or one he will hold to and the other despise. And that's exactly it, and that's where we're coming to. And it's obvious where he chose and where the adversary chose. So a couple things here to look at with this. The single here, is that we look at this, the single, if they're an I and be single, okay, that is haplos, it means whole, good, fulfilling its office. The evil portion of that is poneros, full of labors, annoyances, hardships, bringing toils, perils, causing pain and trouble. Okay, and so guess what happens with this? Yeah, this guy has, yeah, no wonder he has to write this horrible story. I think of that myself when Holly was born. My heart poured out for love. Mm-hmm. And what's this garbage? This guy puts this together. I'm like going, just.
He didn't do it for his child.
No, I'm sure he didn't. It was a pacify for why he had a child. But the darkness here that you see in here as well, okay? Scuttos, a darkened eyesight or blindness, ignorance of respecting divine things and human duties, and the accompanying ungodliness and immorality, together with the consequent misery, persons in whom darkness becomes visible and holds away. And absolutely right. Okay, so flip over to Ephesians. Ephesians 4. And if somebody will read 17 through 19 for me, please.
This therefore am I saying and protesting in the Lord, that no longer ye walk even as the nations walk, in the vanity of their minds, being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of Yahweh, by reason of the ignorance that exists within them, by reason of their hearts being turned into stone, who indeed, having become past feelings, have delivered themselves up with wantonness unto making a trade of all impurity with greed.
That's it. And so, yeah, it's kind of funny that the whole thing about other people being greedy, it's actually the exact opposite. I mean, no different from, you know, somebody calls you a heretic or calls Christ Beelzebub. Okay? All right, great, thanks. Thank you, appreciate that. I mean, it lets me know I'm on track. Thank you very much. Okay? So moral relativism, when we look at this, makes movable what Yahweh meant to be fixed and immovable. And that is the goal. That is the goal. This is the standard. Okay? And I think to myself, well, people are like going, yeah, but it's different now. And I think back in the days of Genesis, you know, where the homosexuality, the horrible things that were going on, well, that was different then. No, things are different. That there's nothing new under the sun. That's what the scripture tells us. Okay, so when we do this, the adversary is trying to move the focal point. This, just use it as a reference, or you know what? That's old stories. Move on. Do something different. In fact, relativism, everything is moving. It's like an ocean that is in a sea. Wherever you're in, whatever current you're in, you're good to go. That's the perfect place to be. Everything is moving in relativism, and that's the whole point. That's what it means. Relative to what you think or what you believe or where you are. How does a person, much less a society, fixate itself? Okay? The elitists will replace Yahweh, and history's shown this over and over again. Yahweh's removed. The old kings of the Old Testament here. What happened is you go through, I have the chart that shows the righteous kings and the unrighteous kings. And a father was righteous and then had a son that took over that was wicked as could possibly be. And then a son or son, two sons, grandson turns everything around. Okay? And yes, it's the same thing. History has shown it. In the 20th century, we've definitely seen it. These points when very things that human claims to provide answers, they are at their worst. And so, yeah, that's where, you know, right now at this point, I can see the Democrats and the wicked people in charge are just frothing at the mouth. You know, Rahm Emanuel made that comment, never let a good crisis go to waste, okay? And yeah, this is it. And so whenever this happens, Germany, when they went to socialism, when other countries went to socialism, things were normally at a bad point. And guess what? Here's these heroes in rescue to come save the day. And guess what? Enslave you. Put yourself in their yoke because here's where you're going to be. Rise of communism in the 20th century made one of it. It's the most deadly one of the most deadly centuries in history. Might quite possibly be the most deadly, okay, based on the numbers of people who died. And so, yeah, what happened? Have we progressed? Is that progression?
No. Nope.
Okay, that is not progression. So, who you guys know this here, okay?
Right.
Yeah, imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no country. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. Wow, 20th century was just full of peace. Okay? No! This brings on destruction. It is this kind of, this is a perfect line for what relativism and humanism is. Okay? That makes no difference. Do what you want to do. Everything's fine. Okay? Everything's fine. Nothing new, effective tool for the adversary. And remember this, okay? In Genesis, what the adversary say? Okay? You shall not die, for Yahweh Elohim doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then shall your eyes be open, and you shall become like God, knowing good and evil. And basically what that is, that you will be able to judge yourself. Okay? So I would use that as maybe a first point of relativism. Okay? You get to decide what's right or wrong. And then all of a sudden they decide, oh, we kind of screwed up, okay? And then it was the John Lynn possum shorts came about. It always makes me laugh. I need to let him know that, because every time I go over that, I cannot help but smile and think about that. I'm like, why did I put a bookmark in my memory forever? That's awesome. Okay, but that's it. Relatives have shunned absolutes, okay, but demanded compliance with relativism as an absolute. Okay, there are no absolutes except that. Exactly right. Okay, must be forced. It's the rule or law du jour. And I'm always like going, that sounds horrible. I don't think I'll have that. Okay, sense of value and ethics that reject Yahweh, and that is the whole purpose. It's the whole purpose. Yeah, it makes it, you know what it does? It pacifies a person's living and their unrighteousness. That's what it does. Hey, how perfect. It's okay. Well, this guy's a Christian, and look, he's doing this. It must be all right. And that's where there's a problem with that. And that's where I say the standards have moved off into a parallel. So we have multiple parallels that are running. Some of them are running completely away from the fixed point. Okay? But for us, we have to do it where it's the annual or semi-annual or a monthly or weekly check. Am I in line? Am I doing correct? Am I where I'm supposed to be? Do I need to make course corrections to get back to where I need to be? And that's where we need to be doing as a country, as a family, and as an individual. American Humanist Association defines human as this. This is this organization. A progressive philosophy of life that without theism and other supernatural beliefs affirms our ability and responsibility to lead ethical lives of personal fulfillment that aspire to the greater good of humanity.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, this is it. This is the whole thing. And this is what communism does. Okay, it has to be gone. It has to be gone because it conflicts with that idea. And now there are no morals. Morals are whatever you say they are. Okay, and that's the breakdown. That is the actual breakdown of things. Humanists will claim there is equal among every person. That's what they claim. What happens if certain people are flawed in the humanist eyes? Okay? In pursuit of greater good, the dissenters of the greater good must be quieted or exhausted.
Extinguished.
And boy, we saw that in the 20th centuries. And we will now, it's not so much that they're extinguishing you, but look what they'll do to you on social media. Okay? Look what they'll do to you for speaking out. You have somebody who goes to a college to speak something, and they boycott them. They'll run it to where they have to have so much security, and then the college will fold. Oh, we'll just let them have their way. And this is what we see, and we're going to see more of this, and that's where we have to stand bold and know where we are and know what the word says, and when we go out, be aware that this is the thing. This is the pool. Humanism leads to the devaluing of human life, not an equal value of life. Okay? The decision of every human heart is either self-reliance or Yahweh reliance. Okay? And that's from Vince Vitale. And so when we look at that, that's where we have to be able to do that. And when we see somebody, there's going to be lots of Christians that we run into. People who are way off on the parallel. Okay? And to be able to let them know, hey, I know that's what you feel, but where does that come from? Can you show me that in the Word? Because I can show you where in the Word you're supposed to be. And this is the fixed point. And you may not want to know that, because there were many times where we were flying right along the northern border of Saudi Arabia and Iraq before the ground war started. And all of a sudden, I'm on the right side of the plane. I'm sorry, yeah, we were going south. I was on the right side of the plane. The loadmaster on the left side of the plane were to be watching out the windows, because we're going to be refueling helicopters in the daytime. And I'm like going, right on the border at like 8,000 feet? Are you kidding me? And they're like, this is what we have to do. So we're doing it. So we're vigilant. We've got our hand on the flares so that if something comes up, a missile or something comes up at us, two of our sister squadrons got shot down within about a month of that time frame. So we've got our hands on the flares, ready to push flares. If we see some, all of a sudden the loadmaster, the other side, buddy of mine, he goes, hey, navigator, why can I see this gigantic berm that runs for miles? And all of a sudden the pilots look over at him, and they're like going, navigator, and the navigator looks at stuff, pulls, you know, shuffles his chart around a little bit, and he's like, pilot, can you come right about 10 degrees? And I'm like going, are we going to get an air medal for this? Because we just flew in hostile territory. Daytime at 8,000 feet. Okay? And that's it. And guess what? After the debrief was over, because everybody, the whole crew comes to debrief, the enlisted guys, we all leave, because now it's time for a couple pounds of flesh to come off of this guy. And that's what happened. And so the thing is, not comfortable, but guess what? Had we done this, we would have just kept veering and veering and veering, and what happens? Catastrophe. That's what always happens when you veer off from the word. So, that is it. We'll go ahead and close. Yahweh, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your words. We thank you for the steadfast that you have given to us, that we are to cling to you and not of the things of this earth, that we have a fixed point and we have our missions, each one of us, to be walking the things, to be doing the things that you call us to do, and that we ask for you to continue to give us those tasks and request that we may be able to do these and be well-pleasing unto you. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the words that you always give to us. And we close this in your son's name, Christ Jesus. My son, I see as though you're being pressed from all sides, almost like a loaf of bread that's being kneaded from both sides. And to realize that you are doing this to yourself, that you are pulling away and you are thinking that you can live your life the way that you want with no ramifications. And I'm calling upon you that as you feel the pressure, as you feel the squeeze, that it is time for you to drop and to go to your knees, to repent and to change your ways and to be looking up at me and put off the things of this world and no longer live as an infant, but to mature and to become the person that I am calling you to be. Amen.